What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show today. Hang on just a second. There we are. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, May 26, 2017 here. Thank goodness it's Friday. It's also the start of the Memorial Day weekend. And that, of course, means we're going to remember all the millions who have died in America's wars around the world for the benefit of oil companies and so forth and so on. And, of course, the celebrations take the form of heading on down to that shopping mall and maxing out the plastic on the Memorial Day sales and drinking copious amounts of beer and so forth and so on. But in all seriousness here, I do think that it behooves us all to really take a moment at some point during the coming weekend to really think about what Memorial Day means, what war means, what it has cost the people, what its real benefit has been, and especially with our sadder but wiser knowledge from the past several years, to really look at why these wars happened in the first place, who benefited, who made the money off of them, who ultimately paid for all of them. So it's a very serious topic, and I don't expect you to spend a lot of time on it, but you really ought to. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Anyway, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. The lovely Lady Claire will be joining us in hour number three today. Gilad Otzman will be joining us Monday, June 5th. And a quick little reminder, RBN will be broadcasting live on Monday, Memorial Day. We are not taking the day off. We're staying on top of all the news and current events to keep you as fully informed as we can in these very, very chaotic and challenging times. Getting on back to the aftermath of the Manchester bombing attack, Jeremy Corbyn is out there saying something we've all known for a long time. The war on terror is simply not working. And in fact, more and more, especially as evidenced in Syria, the war on terror is really just a cover for yet another intervention into somebody else's country to replace the government, to take over its assets for the benefit of American corporations, and so forth. And each new terror attack simply underscores the failure of these intelligence agencies to do anything about it. Now, of course, we have the media in Britain, like BBC, saying, well, this is the new normal. Just get used to it. It's just going to keep on happening here. But more and more people are saying there is something wrong with this picture. Vast amounts of money are being spent, supposedly to protect us from terrorism. We are being told we must surrender our rights to privacy to stop the terror. But the terror is still continuing. Let's stop spending the money. Let's get our rights to privacy back. If you really want to stop real terrorism, stop messing about with other people's countries. Of course, we know a lot of terror is actually false flag terror. In fact, I think most of it is false flag terror to get people all riled up and ready to go to war. And, oh, those horrible whoever they are, we're coming to get you for that act of terror. And then they say, what? We didn't do anything. And then the bombs start falling. Katie Hopkins is out there pointing out the politicians now have hundreds of troops protecting them while telling the general population, just keep calm, stay united, go on about your business, go to your jobs, go to the stores, spend money. But who's going to protect the general population from the terror that so many of these governments have just simply allowed to walk across their borders because of this open border global government New World Order agenda? There are all these different competing agendas. They're causing a huge amount of harm. And it does show how badly factionalized the governance of the world has become here. Far from being a global government, it seems to be breaking apart into smaller and smaller little faction groups. Now, Piers Morgan is out there responding to the outrage over the American leak of information about the Manchester bomber. And he says, yeah, that was an annoyance, but really, the issue is all the intelligence agencies in Britain who missed the glaring red flags. This guy's own friends have been calling the terror hotline saying this guy is dangerous, and apparently he was not being watched, which raises the possibility that he was some kind of an intelligence asset that was put into play when they needed a spectacular bombing to scare the British people into supporting Theresa May, or scare the British people into saying, yes, we don't need any encryption here, just look at everything that we're doing, or to scare the British people into saying, yes, let's get back into that war in gosh darn Syria. And we know there have been so many false flags throughout history. There's actually a list of something like 47, 48 false flag hoaxes that are officially admitted to, where governments have come back and said, yeah, we did this. Boy, we sure fooled you, didn't we? And I assume for every one false flag that's officially acknowledged, there are probably anywhere between 10 and 100 that still remain officially classified. And anybody talks about them, well, it's just another tinfoil hat-wearing kook conspiracy wacko. Don't pay attention to them. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Very alarming situation here where apparently hospitals across Great Britain are being told to be ready for another major incident following the Manchester attack. And again, it always seems very odd that the government seem to know a terror attack is imminent, but they just can't figure out who's doing it, where it's going to happen, what time it's going to happen, but by golly, they know it's coming. It does feel like a manufactured operation. Now, there's been another terror attack. This one appears to be genuine, but again, you never know. But down in Egypt, 26 Coptic Christians were killed, and another 26 were injured. Terrorists were shooting at Christians on a pilgrimage to the Anba Samuel Monastery near the city of Minya. And apparently between 8 and 10 heavily armed terrorists surrounded the bus and trucks before opening fire and slaughtering what are being described as the unarmed Christian martyrs. There are way too many people in this world who think violence is cool. And I don't know if you've been following along my show or my website for very long. I'm definitely opposed to violence. I think violence represents a failure of any kind of negotiating process to resolve one's differences peacefully. But then again, because war is such a moneymaker for certain parties, they're going to come on in where people are trying to negotiate and muck things up. The arms manufacturers love war. The bankers love war. Politicians and economists who've gotten their nations into an absolutely horrific mess love war. At least it's a distraction. Now, we have another story over here from USAWatchdog.com. Still no proof of Trump-Russia collusion. And they're talking about how former CIA Director John Brennan testified on Capitol Hill and saying, I don't really know if there's a collusion. We don't have it. And basically it's saying there is still is no proof. And it keeps going over and over and over again. We're investigating Russian collusion. Do we have proof? No, we don't have proof. It almost reminds me of the original Saturday Night Live when Chevy Chase would come on hosting their faux news update, and it was always starting with the same headline, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. I guess you have to be my age to get the joke on that, but when Franco passed, it was covered up for a very, very long time, and it got to be an international joke. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call. Dave in Hungary, aloha, welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I'd like to real briefly give a shout-out to a very brave Kuwaiti national who saved my life and probably some lives of my troops in a minefield in Kuwait a long time back. I was commander of a U.S. contingent on Failaka Island, which is a small piece of desert about 20 kilometers offshore Kuwait City, 1991. We were working with a French engineer team to collect up some of the abandoned Iraqi equipment. And the place was saturated with unexploded munitions. The biggest hazard were cluster bomblets that both the British and our Air Force had dropped. Ours were fairly easy to avoid. The bomblets were about half the size of a beer can. they were cylindrical. But the British and Russian-made stuff was almost impossible to see. They're about the size of golf balls, around the same color as the dust in the surrounding area. Anyway, I got word to pick up some radar equipment at the south end of the island one day. I took a squad down to the location the equipment was supposed to be, and it was almost as dark as night. It was midday, but Failaka Island was right in the plume of the smoke from the Bergan oil fields, which were on fire. And so we couldn't see much. It was like thick smoke, and the sun was obscured. And we had these munitions lying all over the place. It wasn't a happy situation. I had my flashlight on. I saw something moving out ahead of me. And I put the light on it. It's a small calico kitten. And there's a tribe of cats out on the island. I guess they belong to the inhabitants of the fishing village out there that the Iraqis had driven out.
Dave, I'm going to need you to speed this up. I'd like to hear the end of the story, but I do need you to sort of get to the point.
All right. If we hadn't seen the cat, we would have stepped on one of the mines. We spotted the cat the next morning. We adopted her, and I was commander, so I inherited her. She lived until 2005. On Memorial Day, can I ask you to give a shout out for that? I'll give your screener the link to the newspaper article on it.
Yeah, if you'll do that, and we'll do a link to whatreallyhappened.com.
I haven't had much luck with your email. I'm going to call your screener again, let him know that I've talked to you. I'll give them the details. This is written up in Kuwaitian and U.S. newspapers.
Okay, you don't need to call him in again. When I say goodbye, he will pick up this call and get the information from you, okay?
Very good, right. And thanks for honoring a veteran.
All right, well, you got it. Definitely, that's what this weekend and that's what Monday is all about here. So, Mike, if you'll get that information from Dave, we'll look into it. Interestingly enough, we are now starting to hear calls for a real investigation into the murder of Seth Rich from Congressman Blake Farenthold is saying this really does need to be looked at. And it absolutely does. I mean, there are so many bizarre problems with this whole investigation here. Let me get at my little list here. That's going on down of all the problems. Okay, here we have. Seth Rich, it's supposed to be a botched robbery. Seth Rich's phone, watch, wallet, and apparently he was wearing a gold necklace worth $2,000. That was not stolen either. His laptop was seized by the police, and following the revelation that it seemed to indicate contact with WikiLeaks, apparently the police are now saying it's gone missing. Okay. The body camera footage of the responding officers has vanished. It just goes on and on. Nobody was questioning any of the witnesses in the area. Nobody went over and looked at the security camera footage at the bar where he'd been. We have D.C. police officers claim they were being told to stand down. There's something really rotten going on here. And by the way, while we're talking about mysterious deaths, in disappearances and everything. Has anybody seen Brian Pagliano alive recently? I mean, he has now missed two congressional subpoenas to testify. And as far as I can tell with the web searches, nobody has seen him. For all we know, he could be sleeping with the fishes. And he certainly had a lot of information. He got an immunity deal. And then after the immunity deal, he still pled the Fifth Amendment. And as far as I can tell, he's missing. I think it's time for a wellness check. I'd at least like to verify he's still alive, or maybe it's time to put him on the dead bodies list. Now, apparently, there has been an attempted, failed, overseas cyber attack against the computers of the Trump Organization. And the FBI is investigating it. Apparently, they've talked to President Trump's sons, Don and Eric. And it's all very hazy where this all came from, whether it's a real genuine hack attempt or somebody is trying to simply blur the landscape because there's so much going on about hacking and who's doing what. But But there is a story that has come on out. This is over at Circa. And declassified memos are showing that, yes, indeed, the FBI illegally shared spy data on Americans, that's you, with private parties. This is not just a question of NSA getting data and unmasking people within other branches of the government. The FBI, when they're getting information, they're spying on you, violating your Fourth Amendment right to privacy, they're giving the data to private parties. Okay. Anyway. Now, what this means with the revelation is that Comey lied to Congress. He was under oath. He lied to Congress when he said that the FBI was not sharing any spy data with inappropriate parties. So, again, it's a lie. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. House Oversight Committee Jason Chaffetz has asked the FBI for all of Comey's memos, notes, summaries, recordings, in regards to the ongoing Russia probe. And this would presumably include any memos that involved political pressure put on Comey to alter the investigations, which Comey testified under oath had not happened. The FBI is refusing to hand it over. And the reason they're doing that is they're saying, well, there's a special counsel now, and the special counsel takes precedent, and so they're going to get the information, and that is why we're withholding it. And, of course, Chaffetz has come on back and said, well, our investigation complements the special counsel. We are, in fact, operating outside their jurisdiction. They do not have jurisdiction over us, so just make an extra copy and send it to us. So the war of words is going back and forth, but already we're seeing a classic pattern of a special counsel, which is to scoop up all the evidence and lock it away so that nobody else can look at it. That's what the Warren Commission did back during the JFK assassination. Everybody was finding all this evidence of conspiracy and multiple shooters, and the Warren Commission came on in and said, well, we've got the authority of the federal government. Give us all the evidence. Give us the Mannlicher-Carcano. Give us all the lab test results. And they scooped it all up, brought it back to Washington, D.C., so that nobody could actually look at it for themselves, and then they spun that tale, that fairy tale about the crazed lone nut assassin in the book Depository. And that's very often what these special counsels or high-level investigations are about. They're not really investigations. They're part of the cover-up mechanism. Now, a lot of focus is starting to come on to Jared Kushner. And he's considered a person of interest in the FBI's Russia probe. And one of the reasons that this is going on is because apparently Jared Kushner hid dozens of meetings with Russians from his application for his top secret security clearance. Now, Kushner's lawyer is saying he simply forgot, you know, I meet so many people. But it seems rather interesting, given that this is a witch hunt against Donald Trump, they seem to be focusing on his son-in-law an awful lot. Now, Trump has delegated a lot of authority and management of programs to Jared Kushner, which has raised a lot of eyebrows. And a lot of people who know Jared Kushner are saying he's really not capable of handling these tasks. So there may be an effort underway to basically pull him back. And it's a very, very complex issue. I think a lot of people are very concerned that Jared Kushner is functioning as Netanyahu's voice inside the White House, and they would perhaps like to see Kushner made a little bit more distant. But the sheer volume of the infighting that is still going on inside the White House and around the White House this many months after the election is an area of concern. And we ought to be concerned about it. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back with more phone calls.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We will not go down in the night. Fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I guess we're getting into Memorial Day fluff mode here. I'm looking at Fox News and they're doing a thing about looking back at President John F. Kennedy. We're coming up on his 100th birthday, and apparently they're going to make a big deal about him. He was a very important president in a lot of different ways, and we do know he was assassinated because he tried to change so many things here. All right, we're going to go back to the phones here. Steve in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
The opportunity, the privilege yesterday of hosting for John, and I opened up the show, and actually pretty much the entire show was based on an article I had here in front of me called ER Surgeon at Seth Rich's Hospital Says His Gun Wounds Were Not Fatal. And I kind of broke down the whole information on this article here, all the wounds and everything, broke it down. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I kind of woke up and said, geez, that something else didn't make sense. I pointed out all the irregularities. With my experience working in ICU for 23 years, I can tell you that the protocols and the rules of that ICU and that hospital did not exist that day when Seth Rich was a patient. And I pointed out all the irregularities. But I did a little homework this morning. I called over to the hospital, Washington Hospital Center, did a little investigation there, trying to know more about the hospital. It is a level one trauma center, which means it gets the big stuff, the shootings, everything you can think of. It gets all the good stuff, the traumas. It's a 926-bed hospital, and this is what kind of blew me away, is normally most ICUs, trauma centers like this, have one, two, three, four, five, probably five different ICUs that are broken down into medical, surgical, cardiac, neuro, and newborn ICU called a NICU. This hospital has eight ICUs, pretty big hospital, 926 beds. I tried to find out from HR. They didn't answer their phone, and I couldn't leave a message. I wanted to find out more of how what the total number of beds were available in their ICU, just kind of figure out more about what they do, and I couldn't find that out. So based on my just a guesstimate of hospitals I've worked out, of that size, you're looking at probably 45 or more beds in all ICUs total, probably 45 or more. It's a pretty good-sized ICU, so broken down really well. But the point I wanted to make was these ICUs, the first thing when we get a trauma in, and I don't care if they're not conscious and they can't, you know, give you any clue what their wishes are, they have no medical alert bracelet, they are considered a full code. They're a full code, and that's all there is to that. So his code status would have been as a full code. 27-year-old male coming in as trauma gunshot, he would have been a full code. He was not being monitored, I'm being told here in this article. So they're saying basically they just bring him into an ICU, then shove him off to the OR, do a surgery, give him a little bit of blood, and then they'll do a recheck on it. I mean, they did everything wrong that I could see. The medications he was on are wrong medications. He was hypovolemic. He needed a lot more blood than he had. He only got 2 units, and it boosted him up to a 20. And as I said before, a normal hematocrit on a male would be between 44 and 54%. Now, they had a lot of blood on order for him, so they could have given it. They didn't give it. They had FFP, which is fresh frozen plasma. They didn't give that. That's helping with your clotting factors. And the last hematocrit they did take showed a 24. As I said before, you get about a 3% boost with each unit of blood, so his hematocrit should have been much higher, and it wasn't. He should have been at 26. So either 24, he's either still bleeding, or it's we would call it as a dilutional blood, and he did receive a lot of IV fluids, which might have diluted it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was on this medication, as we all understand. You remember Michael Jackson, what he died of? Propofol. He was on a propofol drip. This is one drip you do not want to use on a patient that's had a gunshot wound to the abdomen. This affects blood pressure greatly. Affecting blood pressure also affects perfusion of blood throughout the body. Another discrepancy I saw was he also was on a fentanyl drip, which is a big-time narcotic. That's,
oh, yeah.
They did everything wrong on this. And another thing I thought was very interesting I was looking at was the hospital was swarmed with law enforcement officers. Now, when we get these gunshot wounds,
okay,
they come
Steve,
in, we may see two.
Steve?
Yes.
Steve, okay, we're going to do a commercial break. Do not hang up. I want
Got
you
it.
To just pick up the story when we come back from these words from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Got it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse every
day. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Steve in California about the many irregularities surrounding the murder of Seth Rich, and the murder, the official murder report is blank. They've got the time and location only. They're withholding the ballistics report. They won't tell us what caliber bullets were used. It's all just very obviously a cover-up and a hush-hush. So Steve, drawing from his previous expertise, is talking about what was going on in the ER based on this information leaked out by a doctor who was there when it was all coming down. So you were talking about how the whole place was just flooded with law enforcement officials, which sounds like, you know, they're breaking the sterility of the ICU at the very least. Steve, are you there?
Pardon?
I said, to pick up your story about all the law enforcement people who were just around.
Yeah, they're swamped. You know, when they come in, there's no name with them usually. They're just, they're not even called John Doe's. They're just a number. And so nobody should have known who he was by name and what his position was. But it was interesting to see that the ICU, the day he arrived and the day he died, the place was swarmed with police officers, and normally you just see two officers that come to take a look and make a little report and leave, because there's nothing they can do. They can't talk to the patient because he was intubated. He was on a mechanical breathing machine. So,
okay, well, hang on. Two seconds. There are a couple of things we need to take into account. First of all, Seth Rich was still conscious when the responding officers got there, and he may have identified himself to them. Plus, contrary to the story of a robbery, he still had his wallet, which meant he was carrying his ID.
Okay, well, that's true. Well, they probably, well, my guess is they intubated him. They intubated him in the ICU and took him over to OR to do the surgery because under the anesthesia, he would have had to be intubated. There's no way they could bag him. So he would have been intubated either in the ER or actually early on the ER, the ICU, or he would have been shortly after he got to the operating room. They could have done that. Anesthesia could have done that. But there should have been no reason to have that many police officers. And the another red flag that I saw was, it says here the attending physician was allowed to stay in the room and a few nurses. Everyone else was kicked out of the ICU. Now, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not going to kick everybody out of the ICU because you've got patients in each room, and every nurse has their job to take care of a patient because you are in the ICU, intensive care unit. So they're basically telling me they kept a doctor and a couple nurses in Seth Rich's room, and they cleaned out the entire ICU. All you nurses go out in the hallway. Nobody can take care of their patients for however long that could have been. That's not going to happen. I can tell you right now, ICU nurses are very dedicated to their job. They're dedicated to their patients. They are patient advocates. They're the top notch. Besides
yes.
ER, they're top notch. And you don't push them around and tell them you're not going to take care of your patient for the next 2 hours because people die in the ICU when you don't tend to their needs. That's why they're in ICU. So that's a red flag right there to say we kicked everybody out and that's cool. That is not protocol. Everything about this case is like non-existent protocol and rules. This is amazing to see this. Now, one thing you mentioned about the charting and all that other stuff, we went to digitalized charting back in 2014. Every hospital had to comply, a new rule that everything is digitalized now. So all my charting goes on a computer
into a database. With Obamacare.
Yes. And that was the new rule for some kind of funding. You had to do this. And I was always suspicious of this whole digitalized thing because we see how much cyber crime there is and it's how easy it is to get into systems and find information. Well,
Or alter it.
And it's much easier to alter a paper document. Actually, it's easier to alter the digital copy than it is to do the paper because there's a carbon behind the orders. So it presses through, and you can see what somebody else wrote or somebody scribbled out. So that's a red flag right there. But to kick everybody out of the ICU, everything about this has legs.
Yes.
Mike, this has legs. And I'm not sure why it's taken almost a year from the death date of Seth Rich to now somebody breaking loose and opening up and saying all these things. I'm not sure why it's taken this long because any junior Columbo would have known, well, Seth Rich, okay, what's his background? He works at the DNC, he's a staffer. Oh, and then we have this big leak that takes down Hillary and hurts her numbers and her campaign. Geez, wonder where that could have come from. This is junior detective work, and I'm
yes.
not sure why it's taken almost a year now for somebody, this story to actually break loose, because I saw this a long time ago, and I wondered why nobody went after this. DNC staffer, dead, mysterious, gunned down, wasn't robbed, but they keep pushing the robbery story, but they left the belongings behind. This thing stinks.
It does. And I went through the same thing back in 1994 with Vincent Foster, where the available information about the body and the location and everything didn't line up with the suicide, but it was pushed suicide, 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 suicide. If you've got a different opinion, you're wearing a tinfoil hat. But with regard to Seth Rich, the issue here is they're trying to keep this from being investigated or going public. They're trying to shout it down because you've got Kim.com saying that Seth Rich was the DNC leak. You've got the Russian embassy in Great Britain saying that Seth Rich was the DNC leak. You've got Julian Assange implying Seth Rich was the DNC leak. You've got Seth Rich's members of his extended family saying he was the leak. If it comes on out that, yes, Seth Rich was the leak, it does a couple of things that are really, really bad. The corporate media has invested what little remains of their credibility in pushing the story of Russia hacking the DNC, and if that comes collapsing down, that's not going to be good for the corporate media. Plus, It's going to lead to more attention on just what Hillary was doing. And again, I think behind the Hillary email server and the Clinton Foundation, there is a huge, huge scandal that would delegitimize the entire United States government. And that's why they're all circling the wagons and just trying to protect this story. Even Hillary's worst enemies do not want this to come on out because they're trying to protect their own jobs and their own positions.
Right. No, this thing stinks. It really does. Like I said, he would have been a full code. And they should have pushed that card in there. He would have been monitored on his breathing, his respirations, his oxygenation, his cardiac rhythm. That's what ICU is all about. I mean, you see it on TV. Those monitors,
yes,
that's real stuff. And he was hooked up with monitors when he got there because the ambulance service has all that stuff too. So, you know, none of this makes sense, saying not being monitored and then just doing rounds and finding him and standing over him and he's dead. This is not how ICUs are run. And this hospital needs to be scrutinized and looked at very closely what happened here. And the chasing out of all the nurses, that was another red flag I thought about it. So you had a doctor and two or three nurses in the ICU in Seth Rich's room, nobody else present. So that's four people you can control and versus a whole bunch of nurses, because normally the nurse ratio is a 1-to-1 or a 1-nurse-to-2 patient ratio. So you cleaned out that ICU where Seth Rich was. You got rid of a lot of potential eyes to,
yes,
keep an eye or see what the heck was going on. And all those police officers pushing everybody out. You know, he was a Joe Blow to them, but he evidently he was not. He had a name, and they knew who he was. That's why they had so many officers there, to secure the scene and do their little investigation, whatever they're doing, or making sure that they can control the investigation. Kind of like that movie I spoke about last night with Clint Eastwood, Absolute Power, how they control the investigation and they get the outcome they desire. This,
yes,
thing stinks, and somebody needs to call these hospital officials on the carpet to say, he's a full code, no code was done, what happened here? I want names,
agree.
I want to know what's going on here. This, nothing happened as it's supposed to in an ICU.
Okay. And you've raised some very, very, very good points here. And it does look like the original hit was botched. He survived the shooting, and they had to go on in and cowboy him right there in the hospital. The same way that they botched the killing of Lee Harvey Oswald at the Texas movie theater, and they had to have Ruby go into literally the basement of the Dallas police station and cowboy him there to just basically shut him up. Yeah, it does stink. And that's why Seth Rich is on the dead bodies list. My next question is, where's Brian Pogliano, and is it time to put him on that dead bodies list? Anyway, thank you very much.
One of the other things real quick is that the solution to his problem would have been, if he's on a ventilator, he's not doing well. He needs to be oxygenated, and he can't do it on his own. But the solution, one of the biggest solutions to his problem would have been blood, blood, blood. He needed circulating volume blood for oxygen carrying capacity. And this man did not. They had enough on hold to give it to him, and they never gave it to him. Had they given him the blood that he needed that they had on hold, I looked and did the math on it. He should have had a hematocrit of around 30, 32, I believe. And he ended up having a 24. 32, yeah, he would have, 32% he would have had they given him all the blood product he needed. And they did not give it. That's a no-no. This is a big-time no-no here. They screwed up, and they didn't give him what he should have had to give him a heck of a shot of surviving this. So they facilitated his death.
Yeah, that seems to definitely be it. Anyway, listen, Steve, you've given us a lot of really good information to look at, and you've triggered a whole bunch of other phone calls on the same subject. So thank you very much. We're going to let you go, and we're going to switch over to Glenn in Philadelphia. Glenn, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
All right. I'm like, I was initially, I was like, whoa, hold it. You know, something's rotten in Denmark with Steve's call. But then I hear, okay, now supposedly this information that was leaked by a physician who was there. And I'm thinking, slow down on the sequence of events here. Number one, he wouldn't have gone to the ICU until after the OR. So he would have gone to the trauma suite. He could have been intubated, but if they would have had paramedics as opposed to EMTs, he could have been intubated in the ambulance by paramedics, or he could have been intubated in the trauma suite, and certainly in the OR. So he would, you know, he would have been intubated, you know, probably in, you know, in the trauma suite, if not the ambulance, and then would have gone from the trauma suite to the OR, and then after the OR, you go to post-anesthesia care unit, and then to ICU. So the patient's, you know, checked out and stabilized in the post-anesthesia care unit, and then over to ICU. So would have been fairly stable after surgery before going to the ICU. Now, I don't know about all the information. The one huge problem here is it's one thing for whistleblowers to blow, do whistleblowing on political issues like a Snowden or something like that, but for Steve to have be privy to all this information about drugs and lab values and stuff like that, this doctor, whoever, is really, this is a huge break of HIPAA, the Healthcare Information Portability and Accountability Act. That kind of breach could cost him his life, and so hopefully this doctor will be able to remain anonymous. And if this stuff be true, and hopefully the chart isn't lost and these records are found, and some of these questions should be addressable after the fact.
Well, as Steve pointed out, because of Obamacare, all hospital records are now computerized, and it is frighteningly easy to alter or even simply erase a computerized record. In the days of paper records, it was much more difficult to alter them and get away with it. There was a formal process where if you needed to make a change that was legitimate, you would do a single-line strikeout of the erroneous material information. Then you would write above the correction, and you would sign an initial on it. And one of the very damaging pieces of information that surfaced in the murder of Vincent Foster was an autopsy report that indicated a second gunshot wound to the neck. That had been whited out, and that is absolutely not the correct procedure.
Yeah,
obviously, with computerized records, you can just go on in and take out second neck wound, and nobody's going to be the wiser.
The software probably does sort of the line out equivalent, though, where you have to, you know, it can strike it, and then you still have to initial the change, but.
Well, that may be on the front end, but that doesn't mean the database itself cannot be directly accessed. Right. I mean, look what Bev Harris found out about the GEMS voting system, you could just go completely outside of GEMS and go into the database with standard database tools and change the records there, and the system that the data was for had no way of knowing.
Right. By the way, the ICU wouldn't be sterile anyway. There's just, you know, ICU's OR suites, you know, an operating room is supposed to be sterile or maintain sterile fields in the operating room, but certainly ICU isn't sterile. But anyway, something's rotten in Denmark and definitely needs to be investigated. The question is, in our post-truth era here, does anybody anywhere have any guts or care about the truth? I mean, whether it's left or right or, you know, politically or whatever, the one overarching question is just, it seems to be, does anybody give a damn about the truth or have the courage to stand up for it in this society anymore at any level?
Well, we do. Obviously. Everybody listening to this show does. The American people do. But obviously within the bowels of power, they're in pure survival mode. And from their point of view, the truth doesn't matter. Accuracy doesn't matter. The law doesn't matter. Just maintaining control over the people, that is the prime agenda. And because so much of their control is based on having the American people believe in the inherent goodness and trustworthiness of the government, they're in serious trouble right now, where Americans overwhelmingly are starting to see the government as a major problem, that they are not trustworthy, that they are in fact engaged in lies, fraud, and deceptions to rule and control us. That's why the government is losing power over the people. We're starting to turn away and not listen, and we certainly just don't believe automatically the way we used to. And
when we get politicos who presume to threaten police chiefs and private investigators and throw their, they think that they can just say, just yell, "Hey, you stop that," and then everybody's just going to stand down. You know, if I were a police chief and some politico told me, you know, to stand down on something that was clearly within my purview, I'd tell her to go straight back to hell from when she came. But anyway.
Well, again, when you're dealing with a group of people that have a long string of dead bodies behind them, you might want to think about that very, very carefully. And Washington, D.C. is almost literally a city under the siege of this deep state, the narcocracy. And so, plus, there are a lot of CIA assets who are in police departments. That's their cover. And maybe this officer was one of them, and he was given a phone call and say, you're going to get a meeting from somebody. They're going to tell you to stand down, and you're going to nod and say, yes, ma'am, and that will be the end of it. It is a very, very dark mess. Anyway, listen, Glenn.
By the way, have you noticed how much the term deep state has evolved into the vernacular in just the past few months?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't used as much, and now it's pervasive in just the past few
months. Oh, the rock has turned over. Everybody's looking at the little crawly things underneath there and saying, that's interesting. Glenn, we're going to let you go. Take a break
Take
for
care.
Commercials. We'll be back with more phone calls.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go right back to the phones. Frank in New Hampshire. Aloha, fellow Granite Stater. What is on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I can't, after hearing the gentleman with the ICU experience go on about all the inconsistencies and all the problems with the medical procedures, and then hearing you talk about all the problems with the police report and just everything, I mean, not one thing is adding up in this story. And I can't help but think back to, and I'm not sure if you'll remember this, or maybe another caller can call in and help me with this, but some years ago, you'll probably remember, there was, I think he was a CIA contractor who was a whistleblower who had materials in his possession. He was racing down the highway, I think it was somewhere in Texas, Dallas, being chased by the cops, and then they got him pulled over, and this is all caught on video, and the cop just ran right around his door and shot him dead without any provocation or anything. And the guy was like a CIA contractor, and he was about to blow the whistle on something. The point of my call is this. After that, we learned that through other whistleblowers, mainly to independent media, that all these major police departments have hit squads in them. And all I could think about as you guys were talking about all this was that this sounds like, because the police were all over the hospital in a very unusual manner for no real reason. There really shouldn't have been a reason for that much police presence. And
no,
and
that didn't,
of course,
really make a lot of sense. That didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and of course, he ends up dead in the end because basically everything that could be done wrong was done wrong. And, you know, mysteriously or just accidentally, the guy dies in one of the most advanced hospitals with the most ERs, you know, on a quiet night. You know, it almost sounds like this is just the thought I got when you were talking about it, is that the cops, you know, were sent in to kill this guy, to take him out, and either they were interrupted by a passerby or some kind of other situation, I'm not sure. And then, and that's why they basically, you know, were so interested in him at the hospital. And then he ends up dead. And now you've got all the major DNC heads, you know, Wasserman, Schultz, and down in Brazil, all threatening people. I mean,
yes.
This is obviously a huge cover up, and he was obviously not meant to live to get to the hospital, but he did live.
Yeah,
that
was obviously what was going on here. But, you know, if you study the history of the Clintons' Arkansas years, Little Rock, and Larry Nichols has written and spoken a great deal about this, these are the same tactics they used back then. Just go on out, do what they were going to do, fix the records afterwards. Anybody who didn't go along was threatened, or they themselves ultimately were killed. And if you look at the dead bodies list, quite a few of those dead bodies are people who were associates of other dead bodies who weren't going along with the official story, you know, lawyers and so forth, and things like that. All right, listen, we need
Absolutely.
To take a break here. Frank, thank you for the phone call. We're going to take a break for station identification. We've got a lot more phone calls coming on in. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.